A reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the gospel.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus heals a man born blind. As he went along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. Jesus restores us. Now we have been meditating from Colossians, and the last two times when we met, we talked about Jesus, the person and work of Jesus Christ. We talked about theology, the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now we are moving forward in the next two chapters, that is four, third and four, we are going to talk about the practical living, how to live all that we have studied so far. So we move from theology to work, theology to practice. Jesus does not merely forgives us, but he also gives us life. He restores us. He gives us new identity. What is that new identity? We are called children of God. We are not enemies anymore. We have been given the new identity because Jesus joined our side. We are the children of God. Even Jesus would go a little further and say, "You are my friends." Jesus also gives us new character. He transforms us into the likeness of Him. We are transformed. We are being transformed in the likeness of Jesus. New character. And also we have been given a new relationship. We are one. We are a community. Jesus is the head of this community. We belong to different nationalities, language groups, culture, but we are one because this new community is formed by Jesus. He is the head of this community. So this is a beautiful thing we have to remember, that Jesus has done everything for us and we have to now start walking. We have to now start doing living the life that He has given us. Now, Paul in this passage says that your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden. The life that we have been living on this earth is not a good life. It was bringing not good feeling to us. It was not a glorified life. We were dead in sins. So that life is hidden in Jesus. We are buried with Jesus. We are crucified with Jesus. That expression comes very powerfully in this passage. We are buried, we are crucified, we are dead. Now, Jesus is living in us, and that Jesus is giving us new life. Every day, I thank God for five things. Number one, He has given us an abundant life, a fullness of life. He has given us an eternal life. This eternal life is never ending. We are going to enjoy this life all through, forever. And He has given a new creation. Yes, the old is gone. New creation. He has given a new life, altogether a new life. And He has given new relationships. New relationships means now I can call God Abba Father. The new relationship means now I am connected with His people. So these five things I always thank God. Now, this new life, how to live this new life? Paul in this chapter, verses 1 to 17, talks about three things. That's what we are going to meditate today. How to live this new life? Three things he gives us in this passage. Number one, he says that seek Jesus who is seated at the right hand of God. Seek Jesus. You are raised with Jesus. As I said, we have been buried with Jesus. When we baptized, that's what we are saying. We are buried with Jesus. Now we rose to new life. So seek Jesus who is seated at the right hand of God. He is full of authority. He is victorious. He is king. He is ruling the whole world through His prayers. That's where we have a little problem. Why evil is still seen in this world if He is seated on the throne? The point here is, yes, He is going to come back, but as of now, He is ruling the entire world through His prayers. He is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. But He is victorious. Devil is dealt with. Satan is defeated. He purchased the salvation for us on the cross. He defeated death. He is victorious. That we have to remember in mind. So, since Jesus is seated on the throne, seek Jesus, who is seated on the throne. Seek the things that is above. Set your mind that is above. Paul talks about that here. Do not worry about Satan. Satan is like a roaring lion. He can stand at a distance, give you noise. That's all he can do. He cannot come near you. He is defeated. Jesus defeated him. He can stand and make noise. Don't worry about him. Don't be frightened about Satan. He is victorious. He is seated at the right hand of God. So, the new life that I'm living, the first rule is that I should be seeking Jesus who is seated on the throne. I should be setting my mind on things above. When I say setting my mind on things above means, as Jesus loves, I also love. His thoughts are my thoughts, our thoughts. His interests are our interests. His concerns are our concerns. When you set your mind on things above, we have to remember that. Now, the simple example that I want to bring is compass. Compass, when sailors sail their ship, wherever their ship is, but the compass will show only the direction to the north. It will only show the direction to the north. Wherever you are, whether you are at home, whether you are at work, whether you are at a marketplace, your direction is on Jesus. Whichever circumstances that you are in, that be a difficult situation, that could be an easy situation, your eyes are fixed on Jesus. Whichever age you are in, you may be a child, you may be an adult in the 80s, your eyes are fixed on Jesus. That wherever I go, I am going to fix my eyes on Jesus. Another example which I have not put here, we are like eagle. When eagle flies, it does not fight the storm. It uses the wind to fly high, soar high. Yes, the difficulties are there around this world, but our Lord is seated on the throne, so I look up to him, and all the difficulties will not pull me down, but I will still soar high. Now let's move to the second point. Since Jesus is giving me new life, since I look up to him, my direction is on him, I will put off all that is earthly. I will put off the old life. Put to death. That's a strong word. Your old man is hidden in Christ. We already talked about it. You are dead in Christ. You are hidden in Christ. When he is revealed, the new life that you have will be very visible at that time. But as of now, your old life is gone, buried, crucified. So how can you again put that life on? Paul in this passage talks two sets of sins. One is sin against ourselves, sin against our own body, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. These sins that we commit, and that is against myself or ourselves. It is against our own body. God's wrath is set for people who are disobedient. And the second set of sins that he is talking is anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language. Do not lie to one another. That's another set, that is sin against one another, sin against our neighbor, sins that we commit, destroying the relationship that we have. So Paul puts it very beautifully, these two sets of sins. put off, put death to these sins. You know, telling lie is considered as a sin. Do not lie to one another. We live in a world of social media. Lies are very common. A person came up with 12 types of lies. We fake, we exaggerate, we gossip, we say half-truth. All that is unacceptable. It is considered as sin. Paul, in his letter to Ephesians, says this: "So then, putting away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with your neighbor, for we are members of one another." This is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 25. So put to death all that. It's a deliberate attempt. You make a conscious decision of putting all that down, put off, put to death. It should not have you should not have the name of them in your life. Because we are restored to new life, and this new life is a beautiful life. God breaks down human divisions. God breaks down the human barriers. That barrier was there. Jews and Gentiles, they were making that distinction very clearly. But in Jesus, that barrier is broken down. And Paul, therefore, very beautifully says in verse 11 of chapter 3 that there is no Jew or Gentile, uncircumcised or circumcised, barbarian or the chosen, or slave or free. There is no distinction. We are a new community, and that's very evident in our church. We are from different parts of the world. We are belonging to different language groups. We have elderly, we have children, we have young and adult. We are all one, because this new community is formed by our Lord Jesus. Paul, the similar passage in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says, even there is no difference between man and woman. The similar passage in Galatians, he is talking about, there is no difference between man and woman. We are all one in Christ. When we build this unity, when we build this community, let us not lie to one another. Let us embrace one another. Let us forgive one another. That's what Paul is saying. Put off all those bad things. I thought I will bring with one or two examples and we move on to the next topic, next point. Imagine someone is rescued from rescued from a burning house. You are rescued from a burning house. Will you go back to that house? We will not go back to the house. We have been rescued. We have been given a new identity, new character, new community. Why should I go back? Put off. And another example, which is a little harsh, Peter uses that example in his letter to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, very easy to remember. He uses the proverb, little harsh. What he says is that it is something like the dog turns back to its vomit. Are we going back? Put off, put to death to all those practices. That we have to do it because Jesus is living in me. With his help, I can put them off. Now we come to the last point, which is put on the new life. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Put on this new character. For example, you are being given freedom from prison. You have been imprisoned to sin. Now you are free. You are no more a prisoner. When you were in prison, you were living with the prison clothes. But when you are out of the prison, you are not going to put that cloth anymore. So put new clothes. You cannot stay naked. You have to go with the new cloth. And that new cloth is what Paul is talking here. Clothe yourselves with this new character, the compassion, kindness, humility, patience. Forgive one another. Above all, clothe yourselves with love. What is the one binding thing? The one binding thing that we have among us is love. Love, love alone. Show that love. But this love is different than the love we talk in the marketplace or in the secular world. I brought this difference in one of my sermons earlier. The love that is exhibited in the world is something like this: get, and forget. Because the love that is there in the world is always demanding, expecting, and it is full of condition. So get, forget. That's the love. But the love that is exhibited on the cross, the love that is poured in our hearts is something like this: give, and forgive. This is the love that we have to exhibit. Jesus gave this new commandment: love one another as I have loved you. He loved us. He showed that love. And you go and love one another as Jesus has loved you. That's the unconditional, never-ending, undying, self-giving love, giving his life for us. So Paul here gives you some kind of a practical suggestion. Jesus, the peace rule in your heart, because he is the Prince of Peace. He is living in your life. Christ, peace rule in your hearts. His word dwell in you richly. You know, read God's word and allow God's word dwell in you richly. Do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this new life has come. In this new life, Jesus is living with you. How are we facing Satan? A Sunday school girl was asked this question: if Satan comes to you knocking at your door, what will you do? No, Satan is always up there to attack us. If he is coming and knocking at your door, what will you do? She very beautifully said, I would ask my Lord Jesus to go and open the door. I don't have the power to face him. But Jesus is living with me, and with his help, I will overcome. I will not yield to his temptations. Now, he is at work in us. Michelangelo's painting in Sistine Chapel is very beautiful. Very, very beautiful. These are all old paintings, but they are affected by pollution, people's sweat, and it's always it became dirty. And so to restore those beautiful pictures is a hard work, many hours of hard work. Different technologies are used to bring the original beauty of those paintings. The restoration is a big process. To bring out the originality is a big job. We are created in the image of God, and Jesus is working in us to see that the original human comes out, the likeness of Jesus comes out. He is working in us, restoring us. I think you remember this song, a beautiful song. He is still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It just took a week to make a moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He is still working on me. Probably the song we may have to sing in our church and learn this song if you don't know this. It just took 6 days for him to create the entire universe. But he's still working on me. How long he has been working in us. He's still working on me to restore me to the original beauty. He is still working on me to make me what I ought to be. He is at work in you. Will you allow him to work in you? Seek Jesus who is seated on the throne. Your direction should be always on Jesus. You should be always focusing on Jesus. Put to death all earthly things that pulls you down. Put on the new life that Jesus has given you. May the dear Lord help us so that we always fix our eyes on him and we follow him sincerely. God bless us all. Amen.